Yes, it is that time of the week. A Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm, as we welcome in the voice of the Phillies, Scott Fransky, as the Phillies get set for their longest road trip of the season, starting this weekend in Texas. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Well, Scott, to be honest, you know, with the pitching looking like it's looking right now, we're a little nervous, man. You gotta talk us off the ledge a little bit. So should we be worried about Wheeler?
I don't think so. I talked to him the other day, and he seemed to kind of brush it off and seemed like it was no big deal, just general soreness and not something he was at all concerned about. I think any time your ace says he's a little more sore than normal, you've obviously put your antenna up. But by all accounts, everybody seems to indicate that it's not a big deal. And so, I guess we'll find out. You know, we'll see Sunday what the velos look like and what his stuff looks like and see if there's any more cause for concern. But, you know, they say it's not a big deal, so we'll move forward thinking it's not a big deal.
I like that, and hopefully it's not. Hopefully Sunday he looks like the Wheeler we always see here. Scott, there is one other question mark now. All of a sudden in the rotation, which has just been clearly their strength all year, and it's still a great rotation, but feels like Ranger Suarez, the last four or five outings, just not the same as he was, you know, mid-May until late June. And I think for a lot of us, it's reminding us of last year because he was so great, and then it just wasn't as great. What are you noticing with Ranger? I mean, the velocity's down, but he doesn't pitch with great velocity. That doesn't typically worry me as long as he can still get outs.
Yeah, it just seems like he's, you know, the other day there was the, you know, a little infield dribbler, and all of a sudden there's kind of a situation. And then basically just about back-to-back pitches kind of got ambushed there, and all of a sudden you're down 4-0. His command wasn't great the other day. He's obviously shown the ability to pitch at a lower velocity with great command at times. It wasn't really there the other day. Is that the start of a longer-term trend like last year? Oh, you know, he keeps saying he's healthy. Everybody says he's healthy. I don't think that was fully the case last year. I think he was bad. You know, obviously he went through the back issue last year and just never seemed like he was the same afterwards. So, I think it's still a guy you continue to watch and continue to monitor. And if his command is good, he's fine at whatever velocity. I'm not worried about that if his command works.
You know what? We were talking about it earlier, Scott, you know, we were talking about Andrew Painter. Is it safe to say we could put the Andrew Painter coming up thing to rest now?
I don't know about to rest, but I don't know that it's, you know, he hasn't certainly proven that he belongs here yet. Like, he's still clearly working through it.
Mm-hmm.
So until he starts putting together, you know, an outing and two and three that are in a row that kind of show you that he's totally ready, there's no need to bring him up, right? There's no immediate need to do that. So unless there was some dire circumstance, I think he stays there for now. And, obviously if there's a need, if some injuries happen or whatever, and they need somebody to pitch, he's as good a candidate as anybody that's down there.
Gotcha.
But I don't know that you put it totally to rest, but certainly I think it's a little bit on the back burner.
Yeah, and the fact that they have a surplus of starting pitching still, it helps them put that on the back burner. Scott, speaking of that, Taijuan Walker pitched well the other day. Aaron Nola down at Lehigh Valley is working his way back, probably one more start, and then it seems like he could be ready maybe next weekend. Scott, do you think there could be a way and a way for them to go to a six-man rotation to maybe help Wheeler feel his best and maybe help Ranger save a few bullets for October? And even Sanchez, who's been great, we're going to get to a point where he's probably going to make more starts this year than he ever has. Do you think that could be under consideration when Nola gets back?
Yes, I do think it's under consideration. I know there's some stretches there as they get a little bit later on where you start to run out of some off days and maybe, you know, you don't have a chance to give the guy an extra day of rest because of an off day. So I do think that is still something they will consider. Obviously, you got to get Nola back healthy first, really, before you go that route. But when he does, I do think, you know, whenever he's, you know, fully healthy and ready to go to work again at the big league level, I think that's absolutely something they're still considering. I wouldn't shock me at all if they go that route.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday. Phillies set for a road trip starting tonight down in Texas. All right, Scott, the six-day platoon in the outfield is up. And what's interesting is it worked. I mean, the guys really, they hit. I mean, Kepler hit, and they got a lot at everyone for the 6 days. But now it's like, all right, well, Topper's going to reset, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be as easy moving forward with lefty-righty. They're going to face two righties in a row this weekend. Scott, what's your guess on how they're going to play this? Because they have to make more decisions every day on who's going to play.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see Bader get some starts against a right-handed pitcher like, say, tonight against the Merrill Kelly, somebody like that. I think higher velo right-handers, Kepler still gets that assignment. But guys who maybe aren't, you know, who are going to mix it up a little bit more, you might see Bader get a chance to start in center field against a righty or two. I really don't know for sure what they're going to do, to be honest with you, but it would not surprise me if Kepler continues to get starts, especially against, you know, high velo right-handed.
Scott, as we look forward on this, Marsh continues to play well, and Bader is the one they traded for. It feels like when Bohm gets back, which could be soon, Otto Kemp could maybe be a natural platoon partner for Marsh and left. Do you think that he ends up being the right-handed bat for Wilson there once Bohm is back?
Could be, yeah. I think they like his at-bats. Especially they like his at-bats against lefties. So I think that's absolutely a consideration. I mean, Wilson probably would get to a few more balls in left than Otto Kemp, but they're kind of similar players. I think Kemp has done a pretty good job of adjusting out there, and I think the balls that he can get to, he will. His reads have not been bad. I just don't think he's quite as fast as Wesson Wilson. So, you know, that might be a consideration, but I do think if you're going platoon, you're doing it primarily for the bat. And if that's the case, if you're going for the bat, then you get the better bat. And if you think Kemp is that guy, then he gets that nod in left field as a platoon partner.
Scott, last time we talked to you was right after the Phillies had traded for Duran. We had John when they got him, and then we were waiting for the Bader deal, and then we talked to you as we were getting ready for that first series. What was it like watching him Friday night, Sunday night, being as part of that as Duran debuted here with the Phillies?
That was really cool. I mean, obviously there's so much to watch when that's unfolding and you're in the stadium. I mean, I know if you're watching on TV, you're stuck with whatever pictures they get you, which were great, by the way. They did an amazing job with that over on the telecast. But there's just so much to watch and to try to take in. And the electricity of the fans during that homestand, really throughout, I mean, even the Baltimore series, I mean, to get 40-plus thousand all three nights for, you know, not a real good opponent in the middle of August in a weeknight, the fans clearly are excited. They're engaged. They're fired up. They're clearly fired up about Duran. And I know everybody can't wait to see what that feels like and looks like in October, but it certainly looked a lot like October this past weekend.
It sure did. Speaking of electricity in the building, Scott, I was there for the Monday night game against Baltimore when Schwarber hit the two home runs, including the Grand Slam, and the MVP chants were coming from all the sections, including the one I was in. Scott, what do you think the chances are Schwarber can win this thing? I mean, he kind of went from not in the mix nationally conversation-wise to suddenly in it. His odds went to second behind Ohtani. Do you think he's got a real chance to win the NL MVP?
He's got a real chance, yes. I think the Phillies winning the division would certainly help that cause. You know, sometimes you get some recency bias with some votes there, so having a big finish would also probably help him out a little bit. But yeah, I think he's got a legit shot. I think he's absolutely worthy of it, regardless of whether he plays the field or not on a daily basis. I think he's 100% worthy of being an MVP candidate and being a legit choice for a lot of the riders.
Scott, let's end with this. The road trip that starts tonight, Texas, Cincinnati, Washington, their longest trip of the year. They haven't played great on the road. It felt like it was better, and then it's kind of come back to more 500. Feels like a big one, including, Scott, the series after this one, the one in Cincinnati, the beginning of next week. That feels like a really big one to me, considering you look at the standings, and I think Cincinnati, if there's one team that's outside the playoffs that could jump in, it's Cincinnati. If the Phillies could play well there, that really could create some more distance between them and that last wildcard team.
Yeah, these two series are pretty big. I mean, obviously Washington's not playing for anything, and they're not playing very well right now. And that's a ways off, you know, another week to go before you get there. You've got two playoff-contending teams. I mean, the Rangers have really played well. All of a sudden, the guys like Seager and Simeon are starting to catch fire at the plate. They've, you know, fired Kelly. We know he can be tough sometimes on the Phillies. You're going to get some good pitching this weekend, and Kelly and DeGrom, Patrick Corbin, they know well. But you've got a team that's fighting for a spot in the American League, too, in Texas. So they've got a lot to play for, this team and the Reds. I think it's absolutely going to be a tough series and a tough trip. And, you know, we'll see how they come out of it. Obviously, you know, this Texas team, like I said, they're starting to hit. Their pitching's been great all year, and they're starting to hit, so they're dangerous.
Yeah, they are. Kelly today, I believe DeGrom tomorrow. It should be a fun series. Scott, we'll be listening. Enjoy the road trip and a few days back in your home state of Texas. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, let's know if I see Micah Parsons running around.
you let us know.
And make sure you get you some good barbecue, too. I know you know the good barbecue spots.
Yeah, we'll find a spot.
I'm sure you will. Scott, thank you, and have a great series. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Scott Franzi. He'll be on the lookout for Micah, who I don't believe did not show up to Cowboys practice yesterday for the first time.
Oh, he did.
I think yesterday
he went home.
A little bit of no-show
yesterday.
Back
stiffness.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Yeah.
He's been had back stiffness the whole time.
Yeah. It's always funny how that happens. The back tightens up right around the time the contract's not what you want it to be.
Yeah.
You ever had one of those back stiffness?
I ain't never held.
Wait, hold on, Hugh. Was his wife around, too?
Who wife?
Micah.
He got a wife?
I'm probably not. I'm not sure.
I know he got a wife or not.
You know, but he was.
Oh, you're talking about was with the tidy back.
Yeah, you're catching a stray.
Oh, no, he's a tidy back. No, but that's probably why Ranger back tight. Trying to go back to back all the time.
And we know how difficult that is around here. 215-592.
It's hard to go back to back.
94-94. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. You can react to what Scott Francis said about the Phillies. He's right. This is a challenging road trip. Nationals aren't good. That's the next week.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas and Cincinnati, this is a challenge.
Yeah, and you know, with your pitching, he says, you know, he's not worried about Wheeler, but, you know, there are some concerns there. You know, it's Ranger's injury. So, yeah, you are concerned about this road trip and what you're going to look like coming out of it.
Speaking of overreactions, we're going to overreact to Sunday. If Wheeler pitches well, we're all going to feel good. And if he does not, I mean, it's panic. It's Panic City on Monday.
I wish they would just shut him down for 2 weeks.
Are you totally sure he's pitching Sunday? I'm not. I'm waiting to see when we get closer to Sunday, because I'm sure it's a day-to-day thing, right? He's waking up. He's telling them how he feels. He's getting treatment. Would it shock you if we get to Sunday and they're like, we're scratching him?
I would just rather they do that.
Not think he pitches Sunday. I think he pitches.
Yeah. Well, then if he pitches Sunday, he better feel good.
Pitches decent.
But I just want him to feel good. I mean, the game Sunday is one thing, right? It's a game against the Rangers. The bottom line is he needs to be healthy down the stretch of the season. All right, let's go back to the phones. All things Eagles after last night, including Tanner McKee, who someone around here called the future about eight months ago. And now the future for some people has arrived. Look, I like him as a backup quarterback, but the idea the Eagles would be a lock playoff team without Jalen is, I mean, it's just bananas. Black Gritty is up on WIP. Hey, Black Gritty.
Guys, not only is Hugh knowing what he's talking about, but remember when Hugh didn't like Marcus Mariota? He was like, I'd rather have Tanner McKee. And I'm like, Tanner's better than Mariota. Joe Giglio, you guys don't know nothing about nothing. We trade for Pickett. And when is Joe Giglio coming around and say, oh, we got somebody putting in competition with Jalen Hurts, first-round draft pick. And we and Houston.
Well, I don't think I said it was coming. Hold on. You know, the last 2 years, the Eagles put McKee below those guys on the depth chart. Look, the Eagles did that.
That's because we're a QB factory. We are here flipping and dipping dudes for trade assets, and you can't see talent, Joe Giglio. So you wake up today with this question. Well, could he take over Jalen Hurts' job and get us to the playoffs for the sake of my trade value? He's going to take us to the Super Bowl. I want two first-round picks. He better than every quarterback on the Saints.
The Browns, the Giants, the Raiders use a quarterback.
I'm just saying, he ain't starting here, but I can flip him and dip him in these streets. That's the Tanner McKee. I think Tanner Times, T.D. Tanner, the Mormon Missile. You didn't know his nickname last year when I got the Mormon. You didn't know what I was talking about. Watch football, brother. Get yourself just Teddy Pickett. Tiny hands over there in time. Watch yourself. Now, as far as the defense is concerned, you guys, very, very upsetting watching it, right? But you got to remember, I don't have Jordan Davis out there, Carter out there putting pressure on there. I mean, when you don't have the pressure on the front line, it puts a lot of pressure on the back end. Now, I noticed Chase, and he does that to everybody. So, we miss tackle Wingo. I'm like, hey, I'm going to give you a chance, brother. You're out there fighting for your life. I'm not freaking out because the entire unit wasn't out there. And we were going up against their starters for the first two series with our backups. And we looked pretty dang good. So, if I had my starting defensive unit out there, You roll coverage to get help over there with a guy that's not Quinyon. You know what I'm saying? You do things to scheme up to help those guys. So y'all can freak out and cry all you want to. Mm-hmm. All I know is I want 2 first-round picks and a third for Tanner Time, and Joe Giglio doesn't know football.
Now, 2 first-round picks. You are nuts. I love you, but you're nuts.
2 first-round.
Let me tell you something. You know who's nuts? You picking Tiny Hands over Tanner Time. So you
the Eagles. The Eagles picked it over him. He played.
I'm talking about what you did on the radio station. You came out here with these silly questions you always do, and you try to hype up a competition between him and Jalen. That's what you
did. No. I'm responding to you people. I saw a poll question last night where 58% of people said he'd win 10-plus games.
You people.
Well, I'm
me,
you people.
Ask
and people.
Ask me about Hugh's job before you hang up on me.
Okay. What's the acting role for Hugh?
The role of a lifetime. Not a lot of talking, but a lot of mannerisms. I want him to be Craig Jones from Friday. Bye, Felicia. Taking out Debo. I can see you in that role getting fired on his day off. Because you know, you'd be out here pontificating.
I did get fired on my day off.
And making up for Friday TCD words. You know, you could get fired on his day off.
I did.
That's a role for you.
All right, Black Gritty, we love you. Good phone call. Yeah, that's a good role for you.
Yeah, I got fired on my day off, though, too.
Yeah, is that when you wore the suit?
It kind of hit home a little bit.
Is that when you wore your best suit?
They told me, they're like, don't come work. You're good. don't come in.
Yeah.
What am I going to do then? I sat there for a couple of days looking at the ceiling, talking about, yeah, this might be it.
I might be cooked. Well, I don't think so far today you have any fireable offenses on the show.
No, but I tell you, like, for a long time, like, when I got here, when Rob would talk, I would get a little nervous.
You would turtle up. Anytime Rob would be like, hey, Hugh, I want to talk to you about something. You'd be like, wait, is everything okay?
So it got to the point where the boss used to say, hey, man, you're good. You're not in trouble for anything.
Got to tell you something. Don't worry, you're not fired. He was like,
it took me a while to get past that because I was just like, damn, what'd I do?
It's like if you've ever adopted a dog, sometimes the dog is very timid because they've had a tough life so far. You were like the dog you adopted.
I was like, damn.
Yeah, you got to just relax. What'd I do? It's okay. You're in a loving home now. It's okay.
Yeah, but then, you know, the last couple of days, you know, I've been right there on that line a little bit.
Well, and you came in today and you decided to make up words in a talk show.
Yeah.
And that's not fireable. That's just funny.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Colts thing is a problem, though.
No, I don't know what. And I looked at it and I'm sitting there and I'm like, damn, why did I pick the Colts?
Yeah.
Knowing that their quarterback is not, their quarterback situation ain't the greatest.
And they got him hurt. They got him hurt last night.
Yeah. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Well, because you forgot that.
But I'm going to bounce back tonight, though, because I got that 6-leg parlet.
You taking Shadur?
Oh, I'm going to hit that 6. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, I got that 6-leg parlet I'm going to hit tonight. Oh, if we're living high on the hog, I might buy 2 bottles of wine.
Uh-oh. You got
to
double check they're not gambling on, like, the Dayton triangles.
I made sure. No, listen. I double checked. I'm good. I'm good to go. Mm. And I posted it, so we're in the money.
Everyone understands how you can make that. I mean, it's only been, what, 41 years since the Colts left Baltimore? Just like yesterday. Mark in South Jersey.
No, you put pressure on me when I made that bet.
That was not. That's not. That's a lie. Mark in South Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Which one?
Mm. What the hell are you doing, man?
Mark's probably at work.
What is it, a warehouse?
Really? All of them? Is that what it sold for?
It's at work. Talking about what it's sold for. You know my favorite part about this when this happens is he called us. Mark called us, obviously busy. And that's okay.
Yeah, it disturbed him.
Yeah, we're bothering him at work. Let's talk to Ron in Delran. What's up, Ron?
Ooh, Joe, Hugh, how are we?
Hey, what's Ron, up, what's up?
No, not much. Listen, I do have a question to ask you, and I have a character for you, but on the Eagles real quick. Mm-hmm. I was telling Kyle, is Kelly Ringo, is he now like the best Simmons experiment? I mean, this is getting ridiculous.
Wait a minute, what do you mean by that?
I mean, we keep trotting him out there, and he's not playing up the bar. It's kind of a Ben Simmons that wouldn't, you know, take a layup, wouldn't shoot.
So it's Hugh gives his take on it, it's not quite as detrimental. Yeah, like, Ben was the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, let's workshop this a little bit. Because this is his first year potentially being a starter.
Right.
And it doesn't seem like, as of right now, it's panning out. So how is that comparable to the Ben Simmons era?
I'm just being a little playful.
Facetious.
With it, but
he's workshopping.
Yes. Workshopping. Okay, that's cool. I thought you were serious. I was trying to figure out where you were coming from.
No, but I'm just like, it's going on like an experiment here. Obviously, the kid's got talent. There's no doubt about that, or he wouldn't have reached this level. But again, he's not going to be a starter. I mean, I can see him being an average backup coming in to give some guys some blows when they need some rest, but I mean, he's just not a starter.
Ron, I agree with you, and I think it's really telling. You think back to last year, Last year, whenever Slay went out of games, right, he got, you know, he would have to get banged up for a play or two or whatever. It was always Rodgers that came in. I mean, they never really wanted to put Ringo out there last year. So I think it's kind of telling. Even last year, he was fourth, fifth on the depth chart. He wasn't a guy they wanted to put on the field much.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, of course, we don't know all the answers, but, you know, there's something going on behind the scenes of why they don't want him out there and why they're putting him so low on the depth chart. It just, like I said, I think the kid's talented. Maybe it's just not the right system for him, but I don't know. I just, me, I told Kyle, I think he cut bait. See what else is out there.
Yeah, I'm giving up on him.
Maybe you put him in. Yeah, maybe you put him in a package for like a veteran, like you were talking about.
What
are you thinking, Hugh?
I mean, that's a little heavy-handed.
No, it's Overreaction Friday.
Oh, my bad.
You forgot what day it is?
I forgot.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm out.
My bad.
The Ringo era is over. It ended last night.
My bad. I forgot. Well, live your truth, Ron. My fault. I forgot what
Ron,
today was.
What movie do you want to put Hugh in?
Well, first of all, I got to ask real quick before I get to that. Hugh, did you get the package I sent you?
What package?
It was a poster.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did get the poster. You
SpongeBob.
Know what's funny?
SpongeBob.
I told Hollis last night. I was like, dude, I think Ron, you sent the poster to meant to send it to Hollis, because Hollis is a SpongeBob SquarePants fan. As a matter of fact, last night when I saw Hollis, he had on a Patrick necklace, a big old diamond out Patrick
that
necklace.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, I just love talking to Hollis too. You give it to him for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Because it kind of fits. Like, Hollis is a big SpongeBob fan. I told him. As a matter of fact, I told him last night. I said, hey, man, I think somebody sent me a poster that was meant for you. So, yeah, it's great that you called in, because I'm going to give it to him. Give that to Hollis.
Yeah, yeah. I thought you were a fan, too.
Oh, no, Hollis is definitely a fan.
Yeah, Hollis is, like, over the top with that stuff.
Yeah, he is.
But anyway, getting to your movie, I can picture Hugh Douglas in The Green Mile.
Oh,
Big Ben, Big John, Big
what's
Ben.
What's his name, the actor? The big dude.
John Coffey. The drink.
Yeah. John Coffey.
Yeah, John Coffey, but just not spelled the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd have been a good one, but I'd have changed a few of them lines.
No, you can't change John Coffey, his lines.
Yeah.
What's his name in the movie?
Coffey, like the drink.
Coffey, right, Coffey,
John
like
Coffey,
the drink.
Like the drink. I remember because that was one of the lines.
Name, though? What, I'm trying to... He was in Talladega Nights.
Yes, he was.
He was in a lot of things.
I can't remember his name right now, but yeah, he was a good actor.
Kyle, you ever remind yourself that this
Michael
is...
Michael Clark.
Yeah, that's right.
You ever
right.
remind yourself that this is our job? Like, we spent a couple minutes there on a caller, great caller, calling in about sending Hugh Douglas a SpongeBob poster that actually probably should have went to Hollis Thomas. Sometimes I have to step back and be like, this is really what we do.
You know what's funny? Me and Hollis get confused. Like, Hollis is probably about... He's a lot bigger than me, and he's taller than me. But you don't know how many times that I've been out and people think that I'm trying to be a nudge by saying, and they'll say, hey, Hollis. And I'll say, I'm not Hollis. Oh, yeah, you are. Why are you acting funny? And I'm like, I'm not Hollis. And then they get mad because they think that I don't want to be bothered with them. And I'm like, I'm not Hollis.
Giving Hollis a bad name.
Well, it's like, you know, okay, I understand that, you know, we somewhat look alike, but I'm not Hollis. So, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I don't get mad, but it's just weird to me that they get mad at me.
Well,
because I don't know. I know who I am.
Yeah, I know who I am.
No, it's funny. Like I've been out, and Ike does a great job of handling people, way better than me. You do too, Joe, by the way, and we always talk about that. But I remember one time we were out, and somebody said that Ike was Jason Avant. And I kept telling him, I'm not Jason Avant, and he got mad.
No one ever confuses me for Jason Avant.
No, it was like somebody said, kept calling him Jason Avant.
Yeah.
And they Googled the picture of Jason Avant, and he's like, that's not me. And they were like, yes, it is.
If someone tells
they
you
they tried
not,
to convince him yeah. that he yes, was Jason Avant.
And he handled it. He does a great job. But it was just funny, because I'm looking like, now, I know the premise that most people feel. You know, that all black folks look alike. I understand that. And but still, for you to sit there and tell this man who he isn't, that's ridiculous to me.
That is
you know
ridiculous.
What I mean?
Are like, you sure you're not Jason Avant?
Yes, because it was
think
a lady,
right? Think
about
it again. Just hold on a second. Think about it one more time. Are you sure they're not the person I told you are?
Yeah. And
can you double check?
And they will sit there, and they will. Some people get mad, and I'm like, I'm just laughing.
It is wild stuff.
It's wild. It's
all
wild.
215-592-9494. Are the Eagles a playoff team if Tanner McKee starts the whole season? I'm not confident they are. Hugh Douglas over here, Tanner time, saying, yeah, they're a playoff team. It is Tri-Day Friday. Take an actor out of a famous movie, put Hugh Douglas in. Which one is it? And what would you give? What would you need to give or get for Tanner McKee to give away in a trade? Elliot brought it up earlier. Black Rudy called in a few minutes ago and said he wouldn't trade Tanner for two number one picks. I'm going to go through the history of the NFL and guys that have been traded for multiple ones. You guys are nuts.
That's Hugh's fault.
Yeah,
how is that my fault?
Because you were talking about the ninth overall pick.
Listen.
Well, stop. Look.
Answer me this question. Mm-hmm. And the simple yes or no. I don't need
the
semantics.
We can do it. Come back.
Yeah.
Okay, fine, because we got to go to break.
We do.
We're way late.
Yeah. All right. It's Joe Giulio, Hollis Thomas, Sports Radio 94 WIP.